You are now listening to the State of the Union. An American sports podcast covering whatever sport is currently in season. From the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, and college sports. Presented by WTP Sports. Here are your hosts, Austin Slough and Jordan Moore.
What's going on, sports fans? This is your Vice President, Austin Slough, speaking. Welcome back to another episode of State of the Union. So if you guys don't know me, most of you don't, I'm actually a veteran right fielder in the Atlanta Braves organization on MLB The Show 19, the video game, because I'm a hashtag badass. So today, August 15th, what are you laughing at?
Just continue.
So today is August 25th. This is episode 4, I think, maybe 5. But I would love for you to follow me on Twitter at AustinSlough10. You'll get all the latest make-believe news, life dramas that a professional baseball player goes through. And you'll also see a lot of good tweets about my girlfriend because I love roasting her. But as for that, I would love the honor to introduce our president, Jordan Moore. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. And I just wanted everyone to know it's the bottom of the ninth. Then there's two outs and there's a winning run at the plate. Who do you have? None other than my co-host, Austin Slough, to hit a dinger to win it. Yeet. Welcome to the best American sports podcast. We are talking about a video game. He's a professional baseball player on a video game. Anyways, I'm Jordan Moore, the president of the sports world. Austin, I can't. This is too many words for me. We run this nation under pod, and that is simply a fact.
Yeah. So, for our new listeners, we want to make it abundantly clear what we are about, how we're different. I think we're different in a better way. So, the State of the Union, We are a seasonal sports podcast that covers whatever sport or sports are currently in season. So, we cover everything from the MLB to the NFL, NBA, NHL, college sports, all of it. And right now we're at a good time. We got baseball going on. We got some college sports kicking off. And the NFL starting right up. So we got some good topics to cover. Today we got to talk baseball. Baseball's right here in the stretch of their season. Talk a little League World Series because that just wrapped up today. And then we will introduce – well, take it back. Then we'll talk some NFL just because NFL is NFL. And then we will introduce, for the first time, college football. And I'm super excited to talk about that. We got some good topics to cover. And then, of course, if you've been listening throughout the pod, we will have some fun segments. We'd love to hear your thoughts on. Last week, we ranked the best fantasy options if you had the number one pick. So we hope you took our advice on that.
Austin, I just wanted to say before we get started, this is like my favorite time of year just because like the weather's changing and like it's kind of cool, but like it's not too hot like it has been. And like you could wear a hoodie if you wanted to with shorts and like that's the best outfit ever.
I don't know.
And,
like though. You could wear flip flops if you wanted. You're in Boston.
Yeah, but it's been really, really hot lately. And then, like, the last 2 days, it's been, like, 70. But, like, 70 feels like 60 for real. Like, it feels good.
Okay,
we can start. I just wanted to let that be known.
Thanks, dude. So what are we talking first? We're talking baseball, of course. You got two baseball players on your pod. Why wouldn't we talk baseball? So, Little League World Series just finished today. The team from Louisiana representing the U.S. defeated. This is gonna be bad. They defeated Curacao. I can never say it.
That was right. Good job, dude. Good
Curacao.
Job.
Thank you. They beat them 8-0 in the championship game today. Honestly, I was not surprised. If you watch that team play, that team was good. They could swing the bat, pitched it well, played defense well, so I was not surprised. And for the record, I had them last week when we made our crystal ball predictions. I had them playing South Korea, so I think I should get some credit for that.
Oh, so you technically predicted it.
Exactly.
Well, you predicted the U.S. side. But, yeah, no, like, I'm going to talk about the team and, like, the Little League World Series first, and then I'm going to go on a little rant because I just don't really like some stuff that's going on. But, yeah, that Little League team from Louisiana was definitely the best team in the Little League World Series. They lost their first game, and I think they're the first team ever to lose their first game and then come back and win the whole thing. So that's pretty fun to watch. They had a guy on their team that set the hit record for the Little League World Series.
Did he set it?
Yeah, he did. He got 2 hits today, and then he got a hit yesterday to break it. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, pretty cool. But yeah, I was kind of, I mean, it's always good when a U.S. team wins just because, you know, it's a home, I guess, home country feel and that kind of stuff. I would kind of like, I kind of want, like, whenever a U.S. team, like, gets in the World Series, I feel like I want them to change their jerseys from, like, Southwest to, like, USA.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that would be
a
lot better. But, like, yeah, I mean, that team could pitch. I think their pitcher today pitched a shutout, so. I mean, they're dominant, but yeah, I mean, I think it was cool to see Curacao beat, Japan though, just because I feel like Japan always is in the championship.
So. Yeah. But Curacao, like, I think ultimately the two best teams did play in the championship. And while the final score doesn't reflect like a championship game, I thought both teams were fit to be there. Curacao just kind of like ran out of steam.
Yeah. I feel like they just, today they didn't look like they were playing all series long. So, what I wanted to get? Did you have anything else on the game?
I did not. But I heard you had some rants to talk about, so I want to hear what you're ranting about.
Yeah, I mean, so I've tweeted this and I've been kind of like outspoken about this just because like I really don't like it in my personal opinion, and a lot of people disagree, but. I don't know, like, to me, the past few years of the Little League World Series, like, I haven't really wanted to watch it like I did when it was, like, real. I feel like it was so much more popular, like, probably 5 to 10 years ago, and I, like, wanted to tune in every single game. I had it, like, DVR'd or recorded or everything. Like, I actually wanted to watch it, and I just feel like it's kind of taken a turn the past 2 to 3 years, and it's more like, the whole sportsmanship aspect and guys like smiling and laughing after like they give up a home run or, like a big thing that I saw yesterday was a kid, a pitcher hit a kid on like an inside fastball. It wasn't even like directly to him and the batter went to first base. You know, when he got on first base, the pitcher ran off the mound to shake his hand at first base. And I just like, I don't know. To me, like, I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of heat about it, and I mean, I have, but I just feel like that's not baseball. And, like, if you want guys to have a competitive nature about themselves, like, I don't know. I just don't like watching that kind of stuff, and I just don't think that's a sport. I feel like that's kind of like when you're, you know, playing with your boys or something like that and, like, drunk league wiffle ball or something like that. Like, I don't really feel like that's baseball to me. So it's kind of taken my eyes off of the game, and I haven't really been watching too much of like the Little League World Series and stuff, but I just hate all that stuff on social media when they always talk about sportsmanship and that kind of stuff.
Well, like, I think two things on that note. First off, like, I'm fine with sportsmanship, but it's to an extent, it's way overboard now. And right. I think a part of that is because kids grow up watching the Little League World Series, and they see how much recognition these kids get for their sportsmanship. They give up a nuke to lose the game, and they're high-fiving the other team, saying, great hit. Yeah. And it gets all this media attention, and people want that media attention in any way they can possibly get. And so I feel like that's why I saw it in the Virginia game. I don't remember who they were playing. It was like the second game of the tournament. And it was a 0-0 ball game. The kid had pitched a great game. And he gives up a two-run homer. And as the kid's running third, he gives him a high five. And he's just smiling. And like that's his media attention, though, because they covered it. And I don't know. I agree with you on that part. But I also wanted to say, like, 10 to 15 years ago, this wasn't – it didn't seem like it was a thing because – We were the same age trying to like go through that whole thing. So like we didn't really pick up on it as much, but I think as you get older, you notice it, and it definitely pisses you off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just really taking my eyes off the game. And like I said, I mean, it's like a lot of people probably have different opinions about it, but to me, I just don't think that, I don't know. Well, that's really,
I think if you look at it from sport as like, sport as a culture, and this includes any sport, it just, everything seems like it's getting soft. Like, there's no more competitive nature in any sport. Like, football, you can't smoke, you can't hit somebody without getting a flag, or if you do get a flag for it, it's like, why'd you hit me?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's like a guy sacking the quarterback in football, and then getting up and, like, hugging him.
Yeah, I'm sorry for hitting you.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not...
Yeah, I think it's sport as a whole has changed and gotten soft. But that's Little League stuff.
And like, I want to be like abundantly clear too that like I'm not saying that like we shouldn't have sportsmanship because it's like a big part of the game, but there's different ways of going about it.
Yes, there's a time and a place for it, and giving up a home run and then congratulating him is definitely not the time or place.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, if we keep talking about that, I might get mad. So I'm trying to avoid that. All right, on to Major League Baseball. So if you're a baseball fan, like, there's not a whole lot going on in baseball right now. I mean, trade deadline's over. We're kind of in that – we're at that point where it's like teams are starting to gear up for the postseason. Teams are trying to get into the postseason. So there's not a ton going on. It's just games being played. So – but one thing that we are noticing is the injury bug starting to creep into a lot of teams' clubhouses. I know as a Braves fan, the Braves are rehabbing Dansby Swanson and Austin Riley right now, two pretty big producers for them. Nick Markakis is on his way back after fracturing his wrist. The Cubs just lost Anthony Rizzo. The Indians just lost Jose Ramirez. So it seems like a lot of teams are getting late into the season and they're starting to get injured. But I don't know who, like, are the Red Sox losing anybody right now?
This is a positive podcast, and I don't really want to talk about the Red Sox. I've talked about them too much on my other Boston podcast, and I mean, they get hot, and it looks like they're going to turn around, and they just lost today. They had a chance to sweep, and like the Indians and the Rays lost, so it was a good day to gain some ground, and they just can't. I don't know what the hell Alex Cora is doing with the team. He's not playing guys like Brock Holt, and Brock Holt's hitting above 340 this year, so 330. So I just don't understand. I feel like he's kind of managing different this year. But if you didn't know, I think since the last time we did a podcast, I asked Twitter to give me a team to root for in the National League for the playoffs and the postseason this year. And it turns out that the Braves won, Austin. So yeah. I'm a big Braves fan. And I've been doing pretty good on some tweets. Actually, you know, you have to remind me to tweet sometimes, but that's just because, you know, I don't want it to get too confusing to my followers just because, you know, the Red Sox are still kind of in it. But as soon as they're officially out, I'm going to be tweeting about the Braves all along. And I want you to know that I have their tweet notifications on my phone, too.
Just so everybody knows, he tweets about the Braves probably twice a week. Half the time, I have to tweet at him and say, "Hey man, glad you're still a Braves fan. Haven't heard anything from you in a while." Like, and then within 30 seconds, he tweets about the Braves.
I do see what's going on though. Like, I admit it's probably is twice a week, but
like, if you're going to be a Braves fan, okay, as a National League fan, you have got to do better.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I will.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I will. I
mean, otherwise, well, that's all... bandwagon though.
No. Okay, I'll do more.
All right. Promise. Thank you.
All right, but let's talk about the standings real quick. I mean, like, really a lot of stuff. It hasn't really changed since the last time we talked about it. But I mean, I feel like you said, the Braves are hot. I think they're going to run away with that division. I think in the American League, you know, the Yankees are definitely going to still run away with that division. So that hasn't really changed. And then in the Central, I feel like the Twins are, they're 3.5 up on the Indians right now, but I think the Indians are slumping a little bit. So I think the Twins are going to win that division, and then the Astros, of course, in their division. But I mean, the big thing in the American League is the wild card. But you look in the National League, like, the only division that's really up for grabs is the Central, and they're separated by 2 games. So
yeah,
I feel like this year is like, it's just like a big wild card year. Like, really, there's a whole bunch of teams that could make it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a year where you see a wild card team upset. Like, so, like, for example, I've heard a lot about, you know, the Nats or the Mets making it as a wild card, and both of those teams have such deep pitching rotations that they could go in, win a wild card game, and then go play the Dodgers and beat the Dodgers. So I feel like, and honestly, like, I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's also a very strong possibility. I feel like this year it's like unlike any other year, whatever team, it could be anyone, but whatever teams play in those wild card games, I think they have a strong shot of actually advancing after that round as well.
Yeah, I agree. You want to know something that pisses me off?
What?
So the Braves took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. The last two of the series. Then they swept the Marlins 3 games. Mm-hmm. So they're at a 5-game win streak. Then today they just swept the Mets. So they're on an 8-game win streak. Last night, after the Braves beat the Mets, the only highlight that they showed of that game was Pete Alonso hitting a home run.
Yeah,
didn't even recognize that the Braves are rolling and the bullpen has completely changed themselves. Pitching staff has done great. Offense is doing enough to get it done, but you're not talking about them at all. You're talking about Pete Alonso hitting a home run.
Yeah, and they, like, the MLB specifically, and, I mean, you look at other shows too, like SportsCenter and that kind of stuff, like, they all do that where, like, I mean, like, teams could get swept or teams could get beat, and they're still talking about one player on that team. It's like, let's look at the whole team. Let's look at the people that won. Like, if I was on that team, like, I want to get some recognition for, like, my home run or something good that I did. And, like, you can do that. But at the same time, like, add some other stuff in. Like, I hate when, like, I'll be watching a show and it'll be like, Pete Alonso, or, like just for example, it was probably like, Pete Alonso notches his whatever home run, but the Mets lose, and then they'll just show the score. It's like, okay, what else happened in the damn game?
Yep. Why did they lose? Let's talk about that. What made them lose? Okay, they lost to the Braves. How are the Braves doing? Are they hot? I don't know. It's annoying.
And this is a good transition too, but, like, I hate when they do that in preseason games for football too. It's like, I get the score doesn't matter and stuff, but it'll just be like, I was watching the 49ers the other night. I was like, okay, here's what Jimmy Garoppolo did. And then it doesn't show what else happened in the entire game. Like, and you know what pissed me off? Like, that sucks for the guys that, like, did good in the game, especially the guys that are, like, competing for a roster spot. Like, they may never hear their name, like, get called on national television again or something like that. And, like, they just did something good on national TV and you're not even going to, like, recognize that. I absolutely hate that. Especially, yeah. I think Jimmy Garoppolo went, 0-for-6 in passing attempts or something like that. I mean, that's just – I just hate stuff like that.
Agenda setting. It's annoying.
What?
I said agenda setting, and it's annoying.
Oh, good vocab. Dude, you're on point today.
What are you talking about? Vocab? That's a true thing.
I know.
I learned that in school.
I know. I'm just saying. It's a big word. I feel like a big phrase. I don't really know. Whatever. All right. Before we do our segment, let's talk about the NFL real quick because we kind of just talked about preseason. So the big news last night was that Andrew Luck retired abruptly I'm not going to say for no reason, but he just kind of retired and took the NFL by storm. So how do you feel about his retirement and what's your take on it?
So my take on it, I know is completely different than yours because you tweeted about it.
Nice, I tweeted about it. Yo, that's bad. Just... a second. What we quoted. Oh, yes, dude, we're going to do that. What we quoted.
I just think it's funny because you just gave me credit for my vocab, and then I say that. Anyways, I understand where he's coming from. Like, it's just a game. Like, these are people, and they have 60 years after this is done. Maybe not 60. 40 to 50 years, as long as they don't have CTE. So you have a whole second half of your life to live, and if it's really been bothering you with injuries and you just don't feel healthy, like, you got to respect this decision. And unfortunately, it came at a time where you're a week and a half before week one. Like, but as far as, like, his actual retirement and his decision to do it, I understand it, and I respect him for it. But, yeah, I know yours is a little different than that.
No, like, I mean, in all honesty, like, I respect his decision, and it's like, yeah, like, the guy has been going through so much health issues and kind of on-the-field issues and stuff like that. And, you know, I respect his decision to, you know, I mean, he basically retired and is walking away from the game. But, honestly, like, I don't like the decision at all. And I know I don't have to like the decision because it's not my life. But at the same time, like, I think he, like you said, he did it before week one. Like, dude, you could have done it in the off season. And to me, like, that's kind of letting your team down. That's letting your teammates down. It's letting your NFL fan, like, your Colts fan base down. And I feel like, I don't know, like, that's just not a good move on his part. Like, he could have done it in the off season, and the Colts could have come. And, I mean, I hate the Colts, so don't get me wrong. Like, it's good for me as a Patriots fan, but it's like, I'm also a football fan at the same time. And I just think, to do that to your teammates, to your fan base, is just kind of messed up. And I just think that, like I get it's his life. And at the end of the day, he has to do what's better for him. But, like, he was granted a gift to play football. And I get the, like I said, I get the health issues and that stuff. But to me, I just don't think that you should retire from the game because, I mean, he's to be frank about it, like, he's just scared of what could happen. Because right now, like, you saw it last year, like, he fully recovered from his neck injury and all that stuff that was going on. He may have tweaked in you know, training camp or preseason, but it's like, I don't really know, like, with the slew of doctors you have around and stuff, like, is that really going to happen again? And, like, with the microscope that's on him and his injuries, I just don't think it would have happened again, but it just kind of sucks because, like, it happens so much in today's day and age in football and stuff. And I kind of think, like, I mean, I tweeted it, but I mean, it's kind of like survival of the fittest to me. It's like, I understand the whole thing about head injuries and, you know, CTE and that kind of stuff. But I mean, honestly, like, that's what you signed up for. And, like, I mean, that's frank, but, like, I feel like you signed up for that. And, I mean, he kind of just, like, walked away from a contract. That's like getting a job, doing the job for a year, and, like, getting cold feet and just kind of, like, quitting. I mean, I think the Colts did pay him, like, hit the full amount on his contract, but I think that's, like, kind of just, like, them feeling bad for him. But I don't know. I mean, that's just my take, but I don't know if you feel somewhat kind of the same way or you just completely disagree. But
I understand, like, that's kind of what you sign up for. Like, you kind of expect injuries when you play football. But I just think there's a difference in your actual health afterwards. Like, he hasn't had any concussions to my knowledge. I think it's just been like,
I think it's just his neck. I don't think he's had concussions.
Oh, it's his neck. Well, if it's like his neck, like, I can understand that fully. But like, if you're just having an ankle issue or something, like, I don't think that's enough to say I'm stepping away from the game for good. If it's something like a neck or a head injury, like, that you've had once and you've had a second time and it's just like, it keeps piling up and it's a trend, then I 100% agree with that. Like, especially with like the CTE stuff that's going on nowadays, like, it's just not something you want to mess around with. And I know he vowed, like, it was either, I think it was last year or in this off season, he vowed that if he ever got hurt again, he was done, because he didn't want to risk his health to play football. And another thing with that, I'm pretty sure he got hurt a couple weeks ago. So I kind of like, it's just a weird time, because if he would have gotten hurt, you know, sometime early in the off season and called it quits, that gives the team some time to figure something out, have Jacoby Brissett, you know, learn a little bit more, prepare to be the starter. But I think, I'm pretty sure it was an injury that just happened a few weeks ago and he just decided to hang it up now. So I just think the timing of the injury was a little weird, which made the timing of the retirement a little weird, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I feel like you saw it happen with Calvin Johnson that one year. I mean, he was only 30. And then, I mean, Gronk this year. I still think Gronk is still probably going to come back. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like Gronk, to me, and then Andrew Luck is like kind of different, just because, like, I feel like Gronk's was just because, you know, he did what he did, like, he had fun with it, and he retired in the off season, like, I feel like you're supposed to, and he didn't really have anything to prove, and then he just walked away from the game. And then Andrew Luck, like, kind of still has something to prove. Like, he didn't really do anything to me. Like, I feel like he didn't really do that much for the Colts. I mean, yeah, he made them relevant a little bit at a time where, you know, they were supposed to be rebuilding. But I feel like, I don't know, he didn't win the AFC in a year. I mean, he got beat by the Patriots 45-7 that one year in the AFC Championship. But I don't know, I feel like there's right and wrong ways to do it, and I just don't think, like, the week before the season starts is the right way to do it. But no, I guess at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. So there's been, like, moving on, there's been a lot of preseason injuries, though. I mean, like, there's been Cam Newton. I was actually at that game in Foxborough the other night, and Cam Newton kind of went down on, like, an awkward play. It's not too serious, they say, but he has a left foot injury. And then you have Lamar Miller, torn ACL out for the year. And then Jordan Reed, who, I mean, it seems like that's like his 100th concussion. I don't even know if he's going to come back to the game.
He's a walking piece of glass.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, all in all, like, with all these injuries and still the four preseason games that you have leading up to the NFL season, like, do you think that we should get rid of the preseason, or at least shorten it?
So my take on this is the NFL. So the preseason is a great time for guys to get back into that football feel, get back in the rhythm, take a couple hits. And what comes with all of that is a potential injury. So you can't be surprised that guys are getting hurt. You know, they go out there for one drive. Here's the thing that I think people are running into. They want you to go out and so Cam Newton, for example, go out there, do one series. Okay, let's send him out there for his one series, not expecting him to get hurt. He goes out, he gets hurt, and then everybody's like, the preseason's dumb. Like, why are we having the preseason? Well, before he got hurt, you were saying that's his time to go out there and sharpen himself up so he's ready for the season. And now that he gets hurt, now you don't want the preseason. So my take on it is, My take on it is the preseason is a great time for guys to get back into that rhythm, but it comes at a cost of possible injury. But it's more important for the guys who don't have a spot on the team or are fighting for that spot on the team. So you can't take that away from those guys. Like, that's their opportunity, and they're trying to make the most of it. So I think all in all, it just needs to be shortened.
Yeah.
I think you take 1 or 2 weeks off and you add a game into the regular season, or you extend the playoffs and let more teams in. Mm-hmm. I think two preseason games or three at most, you're allowing your guys to take a couple hits, you know, get back into that groove that they need to be in come week one. But mm-hmm. then you're not – the only difference would be, you know, in game four of the preseason, some teams don't even play their starters. Mm-hmm. So really, what are you losing?
Yeah, I feel like I kind of think the solution to this is to, in my opinion, I think that they should have two preseason games. That gives you, if you want to play the starters, you know, for a drive or two or three drives, maybe the first quarter in that first or second preseason game, do it. And then one of the other games could be like, hey, who's making the roster? And ideally, like, you would do the first preseason game, like, hey, who's making the roster? Second preseason game, hey, let's wind it down. Let's, you know, make some cuts. And then, you know, the starters go out there for, you know, the first quarter or whatnot. But, and then I think that you should also add on top of that, or just limit it to two preseason games. And usually a lot of teams have another team come in and do joint practices. I think that you should add another team come in and do a joint practice because, like I was watching Hard Knocks and they said that like they had a joint practice with the Rams. They said they get way more out of the joint practices than they do the preseason games. So it's like you can look at guys that, you know, want to make their case for making the team at that certain moment, and then, you know, that's what the joint practices are for. Not to mention, like, you get way more reps and that kind of stuff, because you don't need to do, like, every single, like, you know, first through four downs and that kind of stuff in the preseason. Like, it's just not necessary. So, and then, like, if you want to do stuff, like, add on to that, like, yeah, like, maybe, you know, keep it to a 16-game season and then just add, you know, two more teams in each league make the playoffs. And that adds, like, another week to the season.
I agree. And the thing that people are going to fire back with is, well, the coaches don't have enough time to determine all this stuff. Well, they have plenty of time because, number one, they have film on these guys. They can tell based on film, are you going to fit in here into our scheme? We wouldn't have brought you here in the first place if you wouldn't. But second of all, like, If they played at like an FCS school, do you really think that they're going to stand a chance in your system? Like, there's just so many things that there's so many resources that these coaches have. There's no need for four preseason games to say, I know who I want. I guarantee you half of these coaches know by the second preseason game, all right, these are the guys we're running with.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, if you were to add these more more of these practices and stuff, like, I mean, that's going to show you more in that, you know, hour, 2 hour practice that you have than a 4 to 5 hour game with all these unnecessary, like, downs and special teams plays and stuff like that. That's just unnecessary to try to see if you're going to keep a guy. Like you said, like, the coaches already have a thought in the back of their mind if they're going to keep them or not.
Yep. I agree with that. But so, this has been a topic that I've thought about for a long time. And, like, my take on it is it pisses me off. But NFL holdouts are becoming kind of a trend where guys, you know, if they don't get the money that they think they deserve, they're holding out until somebody pays them what they want. Or, like, Trent Williams' case, the Redskins apparently mishandled some injuries that he's had, and they're denying it, and it's a shit show, but he's now holding out from playing because he wants to be traded. Mm-hmm. So what's your take on the whole NFL holdout and how it's becoming more of a thing, not only in football, but in a lot of sports?
Yeah, it's kind of like saturating every sport when you look at it. you know, from basketball to even baseball to, you know, it's more prevalent in football. But I mean, it's kind of like the Andrew Luck thing. It's like, I think a lot, like the big thing about all this is like selfishness.
Yep.
Like, I understand that Andrew Luck, you know, retired from the game because, you know, of his injuries and like he was scared to get injured again and blah, blah, blah. I get that. I get that Le'Veon Bell held out last year because he thought that he deserved to get paid more and the Steelers weren't utilizing him the right way and kind of took him for granted. Like, I get that. But at the same time, there's other components to sports. Like, it's a sports. It's a sports team. You compete as a team. It's different if you're playing golf or tennis. Like, that's an individualized sport. Okay? We're talking about team sports. To be honest with you, that's why, you know, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, like, they're all team sports, and that's why we like them. That's why we follow those four major sports the most, because they're team sports, and it's everyone working together for one common goal. And when you have holdouts like this, and when guys retire and stuff, and they kind of correlate the same, it's like you're letting other people down in the process. You're letting your team down. You're letting your fan base down. You're letting people that watch you and support you down by holding out. And I just think it's selfish. Like, we look at Zeke right now, like, he's holding out because he doesn't want to, like, the guy's still getting paid. Like, I get, like, it's not as much as he wants, and he's still on the rookie contract. But, bro, like, just go out and play the game that you say you love, and you're doing it for a living, and you're getting paid. That's more than, you know, that's more than any other American can say.
Yeah.
That they're playing the sport that they love, and they're getting paid for it.
My take on it is, all of these guys claim this is the sport, this is what I worked for, like, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. But when money comes into play, it's, I earned this, I deserve this. Okay, granted, yeah, you probably did earn it. However, there's so many more components to it, and if you really were all about playing the game that you are so passionate about, it wouldn't be an issue. Stop spending your money on four houses and six Lambos and all this jewelry and trying to swag yourself out and shit, and be smart with your money. Like, what? Honestly, what are you going to do with – I don't even know how much – what did Le'Veon Bell make? Do you remember?
I don't know what the numbers are. I feel like I always get confused with, like, all the football numbers just because they're – to me, they're, like, alarmingly low just because, like, I feel like the NFL is – kind of more popular than the MLB, but like the MLB makes so much more. So I always kind of get confused on like all the numbers and salaries.
I do too. But what are you going to make? What is that extra, I'm just going to say $20 million going to do for you?
Yeah.
What's it going to do for you? Buy you another house? Buy you, like, you don't need to say provide for your family because you're making millions of dollars already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, I don't know. I hate it, and I'm sick of hearing that I'm doing it because I'm passionate about playing the game and I deserve this money. I've earned it. Yes, you've done all of that. So just keep playing the game. You will get paid. Somebody will pay you. It just doesn't happen at this time right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like the way that's becoming a trend and all that stuff in every sport, really. So.
I hate it.
I don't know. All right. I mean, that concludes our rant for the day. I feel like we're not going to rant on anything else, but just finish football.
We have one more thing that I got to rant about when it comes to college football.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. No, but, I mean, to finish the NFL and football talk, let's just run down, I've been doing this thing. There's a thing online called, NFL predictors. Playoff predictors.
I forgot to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm gonna tweet out my my predictions, and you can like go through each game and predict the game and stuff like that. So it gives you at the end, it gives you like each record for each team and how they stack up in the division, and then you can like predict the playoffs too. So I'll tweet that out. You should do that too. We can talk about it more on the next podcast, but
yeah. Just
to be brief, you know, what's your AFC team to beat and your NFC team to beat?
All right. AFC team to beat. the Chiefs. I think their offense is good, nasty, whatever you want to call it. Defense is good enough. So I think the Chiefs are my team to beat. And then in the NFC, this one was a little difficult because you got a couple different teams that could very well win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl. But I went with the Rams. I think that Jared Goff has a few years under his belt. He's kind of turning into that quarterback that the Rams hoped. They've got Todd Gurley, who's Todd Gurley. And then they've got a very underrated receiving core and a solid defense. So I think they're a very good team and my prediction to win the NFC.
Yeah, I feel like, those are probably safe bets. The AFC, I just feel like from legit, like a non-biased standpoint, like, I think the Patriots are the team to beat just because I think Tom Brady has so many more weapons than he's had the past few years. And, he's Tom Brady. Look at their running game. They have three good running backs. Their defense has upgraded tremendously since last year. And, they still have the best corner in the game and Stephon Gilmore. So I just think that they're still going to be the team to beat. Actually, in the thing that I did, I had them at 14-2 this year. So I feel like it could have been kind of biased, but like no bias. Like I feel like that could also happen. But and then the NFC, I just think it's the Saints to lose. I feel like they kind of got robbed last year in that NFC Championship game. I think they're gonna come out hard playing, at least for the first half of this season, just looking to prove themselves. So I think that at the end of the day, the Patriots and Saints will be the one season in the AFC and NFC. So, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Austin, you definitely got to go. And anyone listening, you definitely got to go on the little playoff predictor thing. Or I forgot. I think that's what it's called, playoff predictor. And then and you can do all the games and stuff like that, and it'll come out with a record. Surprisingly, one thing I had surprisingly that I did it twice. I did it one time. And then I thought about it, and then I did it again. But the biggest surprise that I had in mind is I think the Packers are going to win the NFC North, and I don't think the Bears make the playoffs this year. So,
dude, I was thinking hard about making the Packers winning.
Dude, I think that low-key they're going to have a lot to prove this year with a new coach, and Aaron Rodgers is fed up with how things went last year. And, a lot of people in Boston don't like Aaron Rodgers just because of the whole, they think that he's better than Brady. He's not, but I feel like, I don't know, I like Aaron Rodgers a lot, in my opinion. I think he's a good quarterback. So I think that the Packers are going to turn around. And I think that, not what the Bears did last year was, kind of a fluke, but I just feel like they're kind of a team that's, too good before they're supposed to be really good. So, they're going to kind of lean on that next year, and I think I had them at 9-7 and missing the playoffs, so.
That's a hot take, but I actually agree. I agree with that take, though. Oh, boy. NFL football, check.
We'll definitely get into a lot more debates and stuff once college football rolls around. To state it for the record, who's your favorite college football team?
Do I have to say it?
Yeah, just say it. Just let them know. Mine's even worse than yours.
All right. My favorite college football team, Virginia Tech.
My favorite team sticking in the ACC is Carolina. I love North Carolina sports and all that, but they're probably not going to do anything this year. They're not a football school. They're a basketball school. So, but actually, Austin, I might be going to the Boston College Virginia Tech game opening weekend. So, I'll probably find myself rooting for Boston College a lot this year. But
yeah, you have fun with that. I'm pretty confident that y'all will smoke us.
That Virginia Tech's going to smoke Boston College?
No. Boston College is going to smoke Virginia Tech.
Really? You think so? I don't know. Absolutely. Boston College is still kind of trying to find themselves.
Virginia Tech lost way too many guys.
They're ranked in the top 25 though, right?
No.
Oh, they're not.
No. They're out of 100 teams, they're probably 300.
Yeah. I kind of think that
it's an exaggeration.
ACC is going to be a shit show again this year, probably.
Dude, UVA. Mark my words, UVA wins.
You think UVA is going to win over Clemson?
No, not over Clemson. But they're gonna win
the Coastal.
The Coastal, yeah.
Okay, so the other side.
I think it's gonna be UVA Clemson ACC championship.
Damn, bold prediction.
And that's coming from a Tech fan.
Damn, respect, dude.
My predictions tonight have been on point.
True. Leading to predictions, let's wrap it up and let's talk about our crystal ball. So if this is your first time listening, crystal balls is basically something that we predict is going to happen within the next week or so, or until our next podcast, which is usually every week. So Austin, what's your crystal ball segment for this upcoming week?
All right. So I said this earlier in the college football part when I was kind of previewing some games. I think Auburn is going to upset Oregon. They're playing at home, game one of the season. There's going to be a lot of hype in that game. I think Auburn's going to roll with it. And then my second prediction, the Texans and the Saints play on Monday Night Football. I think the Texans, even though they just lost Lamar Miller, Deshaun Watson's going to lead them to a victory over the Saints.
I'm going to, just because you said Auburn upsets Oregon, I'm just going to go against you so that we see who's right. I'm just going to say Oregon's going to beat Auburn.
Come on.
Yeah, that's definitely probably one of the bigger NCAA football games to start. But mine, I'm just going to go with, I don't know who, but I think a major title contender in college football will go down for an early loss in week one. You know, whether that's a top 10 team or a top 15 team, I think one of them is going to lose, definitely. So, you know, I'm talking about like an upset, not like an Auburn over Oregon, because I mean they're both in the top 20, so that's not really an upset to me. But I think a team, you know, I'm not going to say like an Alabama or something like that, but I think a big name team is going to lose the first week. And then lastly, I think a contending MLB team, you know, that's contending for a playoff spot is going to lose a top player pitcher due to injury. I mean, we're getting up to really high pitch counts for the year in baseball for pitchers and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, definitely like a blown out arm could definitely hurt a team, you know, that's definitely contending for a playoff spot. So, well, I mean, I don't want that to happen, but I think it will. I feel like it happens every single year.
That's a very good possibility right now, because if you've been following baseball, Hyunjin Ryu from the Dodgers they're being weird with him. They're like, they're saying that they're going to give him an extended rest period.
Yeah.
Because he needs it. He's thrown a lot of innings. But my take on it is he's got shelled in two of his last three outings by the Braves and by the Yankees.
I feel like that's one of the worst things you can do is, like, take an extended rest that's not in your normal routine.
Yeah.
And then especially leading it to the playoffs, and that's kind of like your get back into things. Yep. I just don't think that's a really smart way to do things. But, I mean, hey, I guess that's why I'm not a manager.
True, true. Oh, man. Yep.
This has been a fun podcast.
Before we wrap this thing up, I just want everybody to know, like I've said before in the intro, I'm a huge MLB The Show guy. I'm a pro at it. Been in the league for a while. This whole podcast, I was playing the show.
Dude, I was thinking about doing that, but I thought that this podcast is way too serious for that. So, you know, screw you. I'm gonna definitely do that the next podcast. I hate you.
How about next podcast? We record while we play each other.
That would be good. Let's do it.
Yeah, as for this podcast, that wraps it up. Thank you all for listening to the State of the Union featuring myself, Austin Slough. Follow me on Twitter and our president, Jordan Moore.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at iJordanMoore. Also, if you liked our show, and I don't know why you wouldn't, please subscribe. Please leave us a review on iTunes by simply searching State of the Union. We have the American Color Scheme. You can't miss us. Join us next time. Follow at WTP Sports for updates on all things seasonal sports. Go Red Sox. Austin, go Braves.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. Yeet.